Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted,
no limit, no boundaries.
I see increase all around me. Say no limits,
no
boundaries. I see increase all around me. Come on. Stretch forward. Enlarge my territory. Can you pray these words with me? No limits, no boundaries. Come on. Said I see increase all around me.
Time of favor. It's a time of rain. It's a time of increase. It's a time of harvest. It's a time for reaping. You've sown in many tears. You've sown countless nights. You've paced your floor back and forth. You've believed. You've stood on words that you have yet to see come to pass. But this is the time for rain.
Is where you can find us there. Thank you, that was my fault. TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. If you want to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. And then the live streams are up and running. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's right. facebook.com/TTLO Radio is where you can find us there. Don't forget, we are an iHeart Radio partner, so that means you can stream all of the podcasts. You can stream all of the podcasts by just going to iHeart Media, just going to the iHeart Media app if you haven't already done so. Download the iHeart Media app. Watch this. Not only do you get the flagship show, that's right, the TTLO Radio show, but you also get every other show. That's right. We got a family going on around here. What's up, family? As the set says, We got family going around here every Tuesday night, man. Look here. Tuesday night has been off the chain. Tuesday night has been utterly ridiculous, as they say. It's been bananas. Tuesday night has been awesome, man. It's love month. So Dr. Thomas has been on this love month kick. And, man, look here. She has been blessing our spirits with some wonderful information. And I'm just grateful, man, that we have been able to take part in it. For the last 2 weeks, she did a whole conversation on love languages, right? On love languages, right? Part one and part two. She closed it out this past Tuesday, part two. We still got a couple of weeks left. Two more weeks or one? One more week in February? Next week? Yeah, next week's probably going to be the last. Yeah, next Tuesday probably be the last one. But, man, she has been, it's been an amazing show. Just dealing with love and relationships and phobias and all those things, man. Phobias and what those other things? Phobias, fears. I can't think of the rest of them right now. But she's been handling all of that, man. And it's been nothing but a blessing to the people. Again, Healthy Soul Talk every Tuesday. Real talk, real issues, real solutions. Right here at the DTLO Media Group Studio, Healthy Soul Talk with Dr. Kimberly Thomas. Then on Thursday, come on now, on Thursday, Grindology with the one, the only, Lisette Herndon. She is the, watch this. She's going to help bless your pocketbook, going to help get your business right, going to help get your website right, going to help get your branding right, going to help get your marketing right, all of those things. Grindology, man, look, is a blessing for your pocketbook. Come on, somebody. Y'all look at somebody and say, bless my pocket. Come on, bless my pocket. But y'all need to check it out every Thursday with your host, your girl, Lisette Herndon, every Thursday night. Man, you talk, first of all, the show is informative, but it is fun. Ain't nothing like getting your money right and laughing. Wait till I get my money right. You know, ain't nothing like getting your money right and laughing. But it was a great time, man. So yesterday's show was amazing. Yesterday's show dealt with burnout, right? That's what yesterday's show was about. It was pretty good. How to handle burnout in your business, right? That's what it was about, man. How to handle that burnout. Man, everybody goes through a phase of burnout at some point, man. So she blessed us yesterday with that information. So I hope y'all were able to get something out of it, man, because it was a blessing. But again, it's every Thursday with your girl, Lisette Herndon, right here at the TTLO Media Group Studios, How to Handle Professional Burnout with last night. So if y'all didn't get it, you still got time. And look, every episode is always available. All you got to do is go to the TTLO Media Group page. There's a link to all of the other pages that we have, and you can do that as well. What's up, Pastor Darius Brooks? You also can come on in, man, and check us out on Tuesdays, right? I like to call it it's still in the pilot phase, but Kitchen Chronicles with your brother, the one, the only, Pastor Harold D. Washington from the Faith Works and Vision Church. This brother does Kitchen Chronicles every Tuesday, somewhere around 7:15, 7:30, right? Somewhere around 7:15, 7:30, he does Kitchen Chronicles, man. He blesses your spirit and your stomach. Come on now. Your spirit and your stomach. Ain't nothing like being full both spiritually and physically, huh? Come on now. Come on now. I want y'all to get it. Anyway, don't forget, you can also find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify, Blogger, Stitcher, any of those things. Anywhere you can download or listen to a podcast, you can find TTLO Radio and all of the TTLO Media Group shows. Amen. All right. Let's see. It's Friday. I know some of y'all saw my video from Tuesday, or maybe that was Wednesday, about the children who were having gaseous issues in the classroom. I do want to report that the Lord intervened. Huh? Come on. I want to report that the Lord intervened. I have not had any issues. I don't know if my prayer went through. I don't know what it is. Either that or they were constipated. It don't matter. All I know is that the children, the demons, were released, and they did not show back up. Huh? Come on, somebody. So I thank y'all for y'all's prayer, because some of y'all was laughing at me, but some of y'all felt my pain, and you all understood what it was we were going through in the classroom. So I want to say a big shout out to my classroom partner, Mr. Jason Oliver, and my other partner, man, get well soon, my brother Max Clark. He's one of the paraprofessionals at the school. He has been out all week, man, been in the hospital. Want to definitely keep him lifted up, keep him lifted up in prayer. And Felicia says, you slipped some vino on the lunch to the lunch lady. Man, speaking of the lunch lady, man, my mom, but the lunch lady, let me tell y'all about, I forgot to tell what you call it in the office about the new lunch lady who be on her phone the whole time she's serving the food to the children. I forgot to tell, because that's a mess and a half. I mean, she ain't got no earpiece in. She got the phone. Talking about, here go, yo. Cucumbers, here go, yo. Like, yeah, real extra. But yeah, I don't know what it was. Huh? But the Lord saw fit to intervene. The Lord knew my pain, and he saw fit to step in where I was struggling. Anyways, I wanted to do that. Man, look, y'all, this is it's about to be Lent. Are y'all doing Lent? Do y'all do Lent? The 40 days and all that good stuff? And I know, you know what, I'm so sorry. I have been, I can't blame Latanya. I have been grossly slacking on the journey page, giving y'all updates and stuff like that. And just because, you know, life gets busy. And I know we have Lent coming up. Lent is not always about food, though. It's about you giving up something, right? Like, honestly, I would love to be able to give up social media for 40 days. Social media for 40 days. I would love to do that, but that would highly impact what we do here. That's kind of unfortunately impossible. But I would love to be able to give up social media for 40, like literally do a 40-day detox from all. Felicia says, ain't seen that weight loss pic yet. You know what? I took the picture and never posted the picture. These are facts. And I kept telling y'all I wanted y'all to, right. Got the lead by example. I got you. But we, you know, so I want to know, do y'all do Lent? Are y'all celebrating Lent, this Lenten season? I'm curious, because I just saw down at First Baptist, they're having a service for Ash Wednesday at First Baptist Church. I am somewhat confused by those of us who know who Christ is and who celebrate the death, the birth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. I am somewhat confused by those people who believe in that, but then turn around and celebrate Ash Wednesday. There is no biblical reference. Come on now. There is no biblical reference for those people who believe, who are blood washed in Christ, for putting ashes on your forehead. Huh? Lissette says, I didn't post the pic, but I look good in these jeans, hunky. Is what you said, hunky with a teeth. I am somewhat confused. And here's the deal. I'm not knocking anybody's program. Please don't take it that way. I'm not knocking anybody's program. But my question is, how is it that blood washed Christians, fire Holy Ghost filled Christians, can put ashes on their forehead? I'm just curious about that. This is just me. I don't know, Pastor Mark Gully. I saw you just popped on. Mark Gully, bless you, sir. I'm curious as to what makes us believe that we still have to. Why are we still doing ashes? Why do we, especially those who are Baptist, those who are Church of God in Christ, whatever it is, Pentecostal, we don't do ashes on foreheads. We don't have to do sackcloth and ashes to repent. Right? First of all, that's an outward expression, right? That's something to show people that you're repenting. First of all, I've been washed in the blood. I just want to help people. I want to stick to the word of God. I can only go with what the book says. Nowhere in the New Testament, since the coming of Jesus, the first time, does it say anything about us wearing sackcloth and ashes? Huh? Nowhere, and not a nary book that I have, do it talk about us wearing sackcloth and ashes. Now, I went to Catholic school, and because I went to Catholic school, I had to follow the rules. And at Catholic school, you know, and I followed them up until I had the ability to ask questions. And once I was able to ask questions, and the late James A. Horton told me, don't let them put no ashes on your head. You've been baptized. You are born again. You don't need ashes. Ashes and sackcloth are for those who ain't been born again. Something wrong. I just want to help the people. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at what the book says, huh? I am curious. And you know what's funny? I put this post up, and I think people were afraid to respond to it. And I think Shiante and maybe four other people responded to the post. I posted it in all of my preacher forum groups on there, and then I posted it on my personal page. And it was a simple question. It was a very simple question. The question was simply, Ash Wednesday, do you or don't you, and why? That was the question. That was a real simple question. I just wanted to know. I said, preachers, Ash Wednesday, do you or don't you, and why? Right? Let me give you some of the responses that I got. Shiante, let me read yours. Shiante says, no, my repentance is unto God and God only. Come on now. Sylvia Moore. Come on, Sylvia Moore, Ebenezer member. She said, it's a proclamation of Rome and not of God, tradition of man. Come on now. Nancy Wade says, not. Tariq Davis, what's up, minister, preacher? Tariq Davis says, I'm not Catholic. I don't practice Catholic rituals and observances. It is observed by Anglicans, most Latin Rite, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, Moravians, Nazarenes, Independent Catholics, as well as from the Reformed faith, of which I am not and do not observe their practices. Huh? I just want to ask the question again. What do we get out of, what spiritually, how do we grow spiritually by observing Ash Wednesday? I'm going to ask the question again. How do we grow spiritually by observing Ash Wednesday? I think we need to teach our people. This is why reading the Bible is so fundamental to your spiritual growth. It is so fundamental to your spiritual growth. No, I don't know if people are going to be like, you know, you trying to start something. I ain't trying to start nothing. I know that some churches are doing it. They're doing it here at Ebenezer. Shanta says, everybody wants Joe's double, but don't want to endure the trouble, so they pick out the sackcloth and ashes part. Come on now. You putting those ashes on your head ain't going to get you no closer to God. And then the question I want to ask is, what exactly are you repenting? Are you even going through, and are you even doing the process right? You know, I mean, I was an altar boy for a little while when I was in Catholic school. I saw the priest, he put his thumb down in the ashes. And then he put his thing on there, and he put the little X on your head. And, you know, I was a little chocolate baby. So you couldn't, you know, it just looked like I forgot to wash my face that morning. Like I missed the spot. Huh? That's not something, and I'm just telling y'all like it is. That ain't something that we're supposed to do. Right? Jesus came and died and was resurrected. No more sackcloth and ashes were necessary. Because you walking around with ashes on is just like you going around telling people that you're fasting, which you're not supposed to do. Y'all don't hear me. Did I just say that out loud? You're not supposed to announce you're fasting, right? You just go on your fast. Your church may have an announcement internally, and that's it. But you're not going around telling people, Ooh, I can't eat because of this. I can't eat because of that. And then on Wednesday, you walk around, what? With ashes on your head, meaning you can't do what? Again, there is a distinct difference. This is where tradition collides with reality of who we are as Christians. And I honestly don't even know when, there's a couple of Baptist churches that I know, staunch traditional Baptist churches that I know, that are having Ash Wednesday services. I asked my brother, Danny Jones, down at the First Baptist Church, because I saw they're doing it. First Baptist Congregation, y'all know First Baptist Congregation is a staunch Baptist church. And I saw my brother put up that they're having the Ash Wednesday service. So I want to know how is that even a Baptist thing? Michael Herndon said, I don't even tell anybody when I don't put on lotion. See, Michael, this is why Lissette, what's the word I'm looking for? This is why she proofreads and censors all of your posts. but again, this is one of those things where come on now, religion versus relationship. I said this the other day. Relationship versus membership. Nothing in my relationship with Christ requires me to wear sackcloth and ashes. Nothing. So again, I'm curious to know why we do it. I'm curious. So my brother Danny Jones, and again, this ain't about him. He just shared the post. At First Baptist Congregational Church, they're having this. Join us for a special Lenten season worship experience. Ash Wednesday, sacrifice, surrender service. Sacrifice, surrender, and service. Interesting. So I am curious to know how and when did we adopt things outside of what Christ said we had to do. The Bible says some of these things come only by fasting and prayer. It didn't say nothing about ashes and sackcloth, huh? So again, if I could use, where's dude at? We ain't had him on the show in a while. Let me get him on here. One man who said, I'm from academia. What's his name? Apostle. What's his dude's name? When they got fired off 15-7. Was it Bernard? What's his last name? Or is Bernard the last name? Okay, yeah, we got to get him on because he likes to say, I'm a theologian, I'm an academic. I'm an academic when it comes to the Bible. You ain't finna have me. Joshua Bernard. Come on, that's what we got. I want to be available. Reach out, see if he's available next week, Monday. Have him come on, sit in with me and my brother Harold, Harold Washington. Come in and we can go in a little more in depth about this. Jesus was crucified, not cremated. What was burned to get these ashes? Well, the tradition is, Chiante, and I'm sure you know this, the tradition is the palms from the previous year. When we do Palm Sunday, the palms from the previous year were supposed to be burned, dried out, then burned, and then those used for the ashes for Ash Wednesday. So see, some of y'all need to make sure y'all ain't getting some Newports and some Marlboros put on y'all forehead. Benson and Hedges. That's what some miss all life. Y'all walking around with blunt ashes on y'all head. Yeah, I mean that, but that's what the ashes are. So that's where they're supposed to come from, the palm from the previous year, right? Y'all walk around with I'm gonna get. Can I get some ashes from the bottom of my Weber grill from last year? At least they got flavor. I'm gonna pass out ashes. I'm gonna get the ashes from my Weber grill that I did not clean at the end of the year. That's still probably I need to dump the canister at the bottom. I'm gonna get them ashes, and I'm gonna bring. I ain't gonna even put it in the little holy container. I'm just gonna bring the whole can out, and I'm gonna stand out here on the corner where I'm gonna stand on the corner with my ash can. Well, maybe I should get one of the ones from my cigar and just now, come on, get some of this Cohiba. Oh, bless you with this Cohiba ash. I'm gonna bless you with some of these rib tip ashes. I wonder do they have ashes over at the Honey One? Y'all, come on, we're gonna be laying on the hands with the ashes from Honey One. Bet they got flavor. Huh? Help somebody. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm just saying that's the silliness of it, because it has no spiritual value, none whatsoever. And if anything, if you do it and you don't know why you're doing it, then what does that say about you? What does that say about you? If you just said keep the ashes and send me the real tips. I know that's right. Again, we'll do a little more in depth. But this all comes with the Lenten season leading up to Resurrection Sunday, right? Because even in the whole process, and I do this every year. I've done this every year that I've been on this show, that I've been on the air. And I've taught it, even when I taught Bible studies before I had a radio show. I taught this, you know, about Good Friday and all this. There is no Good Friday. All of these things that we do, there is no Good Friday. The Bible says Jesus had to be in the ground, dead, for 3 days and three whole nights. Three of them. They crucified him early on. If you're gonna say Friday, that they crucified him Friday, huh? If they crucified him on Friday, and then they took him down because they had to take him down off the cross before the Passover. It was the time for the Jewish Passover, so he had to be in the ground and buried Friday night. Friday to Saturday is one day. Saturday to Sunday is 2 days. Something, the math just don't add up. As my late great grandmama Minnie Ola Dillon Small, I'm get the name right. She was married a few times too, like me. I got it from somewhere. As my late great grandmama Minnie Ola King Small Williams said, I've been by the school though. I know how to count to three. Friday to Saturday is one day. Saturday to Sunday is 2 days. Y'all hollered early Sunday morning. He got up. Then he must have died on Thursday. I don't hear nobody. Huh? And if he died on Thursday, then that ends the whole conversation about Maundy Thursday. See, y'all need to know some of this stuff. You know, there's a thing called Maundy Thursday. That was the day he was going from courthouse to courthouse. Well, it couldn't have been on Thursday, because Thursday, if we're gonna go with what the Bible says, 3 days. Here is the final problem. The The Bible says early on the Sabbath, he got up. Well, now we got a real problem. Because the Sabbath was Saturday. If he died on Friday night and he got up Saturday morning, I'm sorry, Jesus wasn't quite done yet. I'm sorry, he wasn't done yet. He was still real ready. He wasn't ready. I don't hear nobody. Huh? If the Sabbath is Saturday, like we know that it really was on Saturday. Huh? If we know the Sabbath was on Saturday, then Good Friday can't be Good Friday. Maundy Thursday can't. So that means we need to push all the way back, to Wednesday. Oh, Jesus. Because if they crucified him on Wednesday and buried him on Wednesday, huh? So that's Wednesday. Wednesday to Thursday, one day. Thursday to Friday, 2 days. Friday to Saturday, uh-oh, 3 days. I don't hear nobody. Huh? Come on, please, say, all I know is that he got up. I know that's right. And at the end of the day, that is the end-all, be-all, that he got up. But let's stop with this. Don't get me wrong. When Resurrection Sunday comes, when we recognize it, we're going to celebrate it on Sunday. I ain't got no problem. I'm going to be celebrating. I'm going to give my praise on just like everybody else. But don't try to convince me about all this other stuff that biblically the math don't add up. That's all I'm saying. The math don't add up. I dare you, ask your pastor about Good Friday. I want to know what he thinks. Ask your pastor about Good Friday, and I want to know what he said. Because the Bible says 3 days. 3 days. 3 days. 3 whole days, 3 whole nights. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish. How long? 3 whole days, 3 whole nights. Lazarus in the ground, dead. How long? Huh? And Jesus didn't show up till the 4th day for Lazarus because he wanted to make sure that the people didn't think that there was some shenanigans going on. Y'all don't hear me. He said it himself. He said it himself. Jesus said what? Destroy this temple. He said how many days? And in 3 days, I will build it up again. That's what the Bible says. That's what him had said. Him said, I'm going down, but I'll be back in 3 days. Not a day and a half. Not tomorrow. But 3 days. That's in the book. You ain't gotta believe me, read it for yourself. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and or John. Come on, somebody, help me. And one of them. Check it out. Preacher say, so I can't request Good Friday off. Oh no, you can request it now. Absolutely. If it's a holiday, take it. Come on now. And right, and then on Sunday, come on. That's why Sean said, cook you a good old Easter dinner. Come on, Pastor Lance Gabriel Ellis. I know he read the book. Pastor Lance knows it wasn't no Good Friday. Because the math don't add up. Not if the real Sabbath was on Saturday, it can't be no Good Friday. Huh? I know what tradition says, but 2 plus 2 is still 4. Last time, I know they got new math, and they make the circles. I'm so confused by the circles, but they make the circles. But if I write, and my handwriting is terrible, but if I put 4 circles on the paper, it's still 4. Huh? Y'all help a brother. Help me help you. I know I ain't trying to get nobody in trouble at your church. I ain't trying to get you to go get your pastor and tell him gotcha or none of that. I just think churches ought to teach what's true. You can still honor. You're honoring resurrection, right? We honor the resurrection on Sunday, but we recognize that the Sabbath was on a Saturday. We honor it on Sunday. Felicia said, I didn't do that good in math. But you know what? Felicia, You can count to three, though. You can count to three. Whether it be one penny, two penny, three penny, $1, $2, $3, or 100, 200, 300. You can count to three. Y'all ain't going to get me started. I'm already started. Let me stop playing. I'm already there. It don't take much for me. I don't like when folk. I think that we just need to get to a place where we're honest. That we start giving new information about just up to date. Still honor it, right? That's just like communion though. We got this thing of only doing communion on first Sunday. That ain't scriptural either, but I'm going to leave that alone too. But we're going to do communion on first Sunday. The Bible says, as often as ye do this in remembrance of me. Huh? I'm going to make that my, not a poll question. I could put a poll question. No, because I know, no, never mind. I'm going to make that my status though. If the real Sabbath was Saturday, then what is Good Friday? Y'all think the Pope won't come after me? Tanya, see if you can call. Can we call international? No, I'm talking about from the current phone. Can we call international? Look up the number to the Vatican and see if we can call the Vatican. Look it up. We're going to call the Vatican, y'all. That's what we're going to do. Because the Vatican is open. What time is it in Rome? Hey, Google. What time is it in Rome right now?
Time in Rome, metropolitan city of Rome, Italy, is 2:43 a.m.
2:43 a.m. The Vatican might be closed. But get the number for the Vatican. We're going to call the Vatican. Because I want to talk. I want to talk to somebody. Is it a king? I don't think it's about honesty. Some people just don't know. I've never heard this. What? They think I'm. What are you talking about? I ain't say. Who said you was close? I did not say. Can you give me the number to the Vatican? No, Felicia. No, I'm not talking about you being honest. I'm talking about it's time for pastors and preachers to teach the truth. That's all. That's all. Right. You right too, but Shante, some folks think you can only have communion at the church. Hmm? Some folks think you only have communion at the church. Did we get the number for the Vatican? Not yet. You're not even trying to get you ignored me, did you? I'm so serious. We finna call the Vatican. I think we ought to. Can I get some thumbs up? Y'all think we ought to call the Vatican and actually speak to the Pope? I know it's 2:43, but he is, you know, they got somebody want to answer the phone. Can I get some thumbs up for people? Pastor Joseph C. Murphy, God bless you, sir. Can I get some people want to know how y'all feel about me caught some thumbs up or some hearts or something. We finna place a call to the Vatican up in Rome to the people. We gonna place a call to the Vatican to the people in Rome to see. Huh? I got two what?
You have to do it 2 weeks in advance. Read.
You have to call the Vatican 2 weeks in advance?
Read.
What you sent me? You ain't sent me nothing. I don't have nothing. Oh, you sent it in the inbox? Oh, I am not calling the Vatican.
No.
What?
It's there.
I don't see nothing. See, you being insubordinate right now. I don't see no comment about the Vatican. I'm trying to call the people. Oh wait, the PayPal household, the paper household receives requests. I said PayPal, right? PayPal. The papal household receives. Y'all heard me say PayPal too. The papal household receives requests via fax. 390-6900 by mail or. Request should be made 2 weeks in advance. So you're telling me we can't call the Vatican? We can only fax the Vatican. You tell me the Vatican don't have a working phone. We got 17 phones here in Ebenezer. The Vatican ain't got a regular working phone that I can leave a voicemail on. I need you to look into this, Sister Michelle, over there, and so we can call. Because I need to talk to the Pope. We go way back. I think we ought to call the Catholic. Wait a minute. Where is what insubordinate? I could have spelled it. I have no problem. You don't have no problems. You got me mixed up. Did you get the number? That's the fact. No. Hey Google, what's the number to the Vatican?
379 is the country code for Vatican City.
Hey Google, how do we call the Vatican?
According to country code, Vatican International Dialing 379 is followed by an area code. The Vatican area code table below shows the various city codes for Vatican.
Okay, Google, you confused me. Oh, stop, Google, because you're talking too much. I don't even know what she, I'm trying to call the Pope. That's all I'm going to do. I just want to call the Pope and see if he woke.
It's 274.
He might be woke. You never know. He could be up having a praise party or something. We need to place a call in to the Pope. Who is the Pope? The Vice Pope? Is it a Vice Pope? Is that even a... Is that even a title? Who is the assistant pope? Is there an assistant pope? We need answers. We need answers. Because I just want to know. Apostle Joseph C. Kyle, God bless you, sir. We're trying to call the Vatican. My producer and my intern are being insubordinate right now. And they're not trying to help me with the number to the Vatican. But that's okay. We gonna get it together. Let's see. We gonna get it together. Let's see. Ooh, Lord. All right. Anyway, that's all I wanted to talk about. We gonna talk more about this next week, Monday, the beginning of the Lenten season. Next week, but are y'all giving up anything for Lent? I saw Shante said pop. You know you're from Chicago when you say pop. You say no soda. You give me a wild cherry soda. Yeah, pop. You want a pop? Soda. You from Minnesota? You want to fuck? Can we get a soda? Well, who can I get a soda? Yeah, sometimes I do say soda though. It comes from someplace. Soda pop? No, that you country. See, when you say soda pop, that's country. Now, but I'm country with a K though, not like country with a C. It's different. Okay. All right, hey. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, y'all, what time it is? It be 7:50. Okay, we good. When we come back, we're going to jump right into this conversation. Did you take a nap before the broadcast? Your mind is an overdrive. No, I didn't. I took a nap before, what's the name? Before Rhinology yesterday, though. I took a good nap. That's all the time. Thank you, Madam Producer. We're going to take a break, y'all. Y'all ready? We're gonna have a good time, man. Let's just have some. Let's just do what we do. Let's just have a little bit of this. Come on.
Now come on, put your hands together to believe in the Lord. What are you doing?
I'm looking up to the Lord. He will bring me out.
Come on. You're looking. Let's go.
But I asked my producer and the intern to try and find up the number that we're gonna play the call. What's the post name? What's the name? What's the post name? This ain't Pope Francis, is it? I don't know, I got two Pope here. But we were going to try to call the Pope and ask some questions about putting these ashes on this Pope here. I did get a response back from First Baptist Congregation while I was waiting in case anybody was interested. I asked, would you be placing ashes on foreheads? And Carolyn Lewis, I believe that they remember, that Carolyn Lewis said, yes, they will. And I said, interesting. That was my response. Again, these are Baptist church. I am so confused by this. I am so confused by this because I don't understand the relevance of at all. I don't understand it. It's for repentance. You don't have to give ashes to repent, right? So I don't get it. I just find it interesting. I do. I don't understand. I don't. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of repentance. And then I know in 1090, maybe 990, something like that, the Pope, the second Pope, ritualized this thing called Ash Wednesday. Again, it is a Catholic-born ritual. They're gonna be waiting outside after the show. Hey, y'all saw that movie, and was it Angel and Demon? What was it with Tom Hanks? And it's Domenico, and you know, they roll deep, boy. They look, them Vatican police don't play, boy. They like Mr. James Bond. So watch this. They can come up here if they want to. We gonna see who quit John McGraw.
Because he's done it for me in the past.
I used to watch The Rifleman. Huh?
Have a situation right now.
Oh God! In the words of the prophet.
You need the Lord to do.
In the words of that good prophet. I believe it was that Nate Dogg?
Right.
In the words of Bishop Prophet Nate Dogg, 16 in the clip and one in the hole. That was Nate Dogg. That was, what was his name? Warren G. and them. Yeah. In the words of Bishop Warren G. and them, they can stand outside all they want to. I'm just trying to help the people. Look, don't get mad at me. I read my Bible, and nowhere in the Bible, I understand. You know why I understand why they did it in the Old Testament, but it's not. You know, it's just not something we do. It was done by the Catholic religion. They did it because it's the start of the 40-day fasting period and all of that. This is, you know, again, it's not something that, you know. And then I was reading it says in Protestant Reformation Church. That's when the Protestant Church broke away from the Catholic Church. Ashes fell out of favor. Nobody was doing ashes. Nobody was doing ashes in a in non-Catholic churches. You know. Now, I understand the whole ecumenical movement. I get that. I remember all that. Yes, that's the word, ecumenical. I understand all that, but it's not something that we should be doing, right? It's just not something we should be doing. You know, you know. And then they have, watch this, they even have ashes to go. Did y'all know that? Like, you can take yours with you if you can't wait to get them applied. Yeah. Yeah. I'm good. We can keep it moving. Anyway, let's go, y'all. So we got this good article, right? We got this really good article, and it's entitled 12 Characteristics of People Who Are Spiritually Mature. 12 Characteristics of People Who Are Spiritually Mature. It would be so nice if I could pull the article up on my computer over here, like a good show host would have. But I guess that means I'm not a good show host. Got the article, won't come up. A good show host would have the article up already and ready. But for some reason, it ain't liking me today. But we're going to figure it out in a minute. It'll be all over in the morning. Huh? In the morning. All right. Oh, no, that's not. See, wrong one. See, clicked on the wrong thing. Go back. That's what I need right there. All right. So, again, it is 12 characteristics of spiritually mature Christians. 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. Y'all ready? Let's go. Do me a favor. Let me check the share. Let me check my share ratio. Let me see what my share ratio is. Let me see why we what we doing with the shares. I see. Ooh, look at that. 7 of them. Really? A whole 7. Come on. I bet y'all to get it to 17 though. Come on. Huh? But 7, I can't even be mad at 7. 7 is a beautiful number, huh? 7 is a number of completion. Oh, come on, let me help somebody. Huh? Come on. Here we go, y'all. Spiritually mature Christians. Let me get this going over here. Okay, watch party is in effect. All right, let's go. Here we go, y'all. This is what the writer said. This article was written February 17th. Oh, Chuck Lawless. Chuck Lawless. We've done a couple of Chuck Lawless articles before. Subtitle says, these qualities are present in the lives of those who put Christ on display. Here are the characteristics of the most intensely Christian people I know. Number one, boy, it just gets right into it, huh? Number one says, they know the word. Uh-huh. 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. I'm just trying to tell y'all about these ashes. They know the word, not superficially, but deeply. They don't speak generically of stories. They know chapter, verse, and detail. The memorized word of scripture falls regularly from their lips. Look here, when you study something, you know it. When you study something, you know it. That's why people always say, come on, give me chapter and verse. And what's the gist? As we've been teaching our kids this year about reading and then getting the gist from what they read. What did you get? Like breaking down paragraphs. And what was the gist of it? Right? Mature people know their stuff. Right? They know their stuff. They don't have to go back and, you know, now, yeah, there's nothing wrong with going back and referencing it, but mature Christians know the word. Ain't no way you can be saying you've been in church 25, 35, 45 years and you don't know some scriptures. My former pastor, Ray E. Williams, used to say, get you one verse. At least get one. Find you one verse. Huh? Come on now. Know the word. That's number one. Come on, number two. Number two says, prayer is in their DNA. Woo! Prayer is in their DNA. The writer says, it's usually easy to recognize when people are praying just because it's the thing to do. But the most spiritual people I know pray for a different reason. They just love the Lord and want to communicate with him. Oh, that's good. That's good. Come on now. That's good. That's good. He says the mature people, they ain't praying just to be praying. They praying because they just want to talk to God. It's like when you pick up that phone and sitting there. See, you know what? The one thing we can't do, you can't send a text to God. Y'all don't hear me. You can't send a text to God. Danny Jones says, yes, sir, we will be anointing the saints. I'm going to let this go for now. Because I'm doing an article now. I'm going to let it go. Woo! But when some, watch it, they love the Lord so much, they just want to talk to him. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not because I'm called, look here, I'm calling to ask you for something. I'm calling to tell you I need something. Sometimes people just say, I just want to talk to my dad. Huh? Come on now, I just want to talk to the Father. I just want to spend some time with him. Watch this. God, I just want to see what you're doing. Dude, we can't send the what you're doing text to the Lord, can we? We can't send the what you're doing text to the Lord, huh? But so you got to pray and talk to him. Ain't no text message. We can't text God. So you got to pray and say, hey, look here, God. Look here, Lord. It's me. I just want to know what's going on today in heaven. Real folk just want to talk to him. Just want to have a conversation with him. That's what prayer is. Prayer is in the DNA. All right, come on. This is good, y'all. We're moving. Number three. Uh-oh. Number three says, I know, Shante, I know I can't go back to it, though. But you're right. Anointing with ashes. What? Number three says, their prayers are honest, gutsy, trusting conversations with the Father. Woo! Their prayers are honest, gutsy, trusting conversations with the Father. They're unafraid to show their heart to God because they know how much he loves them. There's nothing perfunctory or fake about their praying. Oh, my God. I like that. I like when they use the edumacated word. There's nothing perfunctory or fake. Come on now. Uh-huh. Come on now. Perfunctory just simply means minimum effort. That's all. It's going to help the people. It just means lackadaisical, half-hearted, regular, average, common. Regular prayer. No. It means you want to have a real conversation with the Lord. Huh? Let's say you can't slide in God's DM. Huh? Watch this. That's why you can talk to him directly, though. See, you slide in the DM because you ain't got the phone number. Y'all just missed it. But see, with God, I can just call him directly. Abba, Father. Huh? Abba, Father. Y'all don't hear me. Abba. O-U-V-A-H. Abba, Father. Huh? You have to be, can you talk to God and be honest with him? He knows your heart, but can you say what's on your heart out your mouth? Uh-oh. Woo, this is good. Come on. Y'all stay with me. Number four says, they don't have to work at evangelism. It just happens. Oh, God. We're talking about signs, 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. And this one says, they don't have to work. Number four says they don't have to work at evangelism. It just happens. Somehow, they can move a conversation to the gospel with ease, and others just listen to them. They almost seem to attract people who are seeking. Come on. Real evangelists attract people. Come on now. Real evangelists attract people. I like that. Let me read that again. He says, They somehow can move a conversation to the gospel with ease, and others just listen to them. They almost seem to attract people who are seeking. Come on now. Dr. Tyler, don't start now. Don't start nothing now, Principal Tyler. Come on now. I like that word, perfunctory. I couldn't say it. Perfunctory. Getting done with that. Come on now. I often think that we forget that evangelism. Watch this. Jesus told the disciples, I'll make you fishers of men. Remember when he took them back out on the water to fish and the fish started jumping in the net? Uh-oh, see, you missed that, y'all. See, some of y'all looked at the miracle of all the fish, but you missed the best part. The fish started jumping in the net. They didn't do no work, but they stepped out on faith, and the fish jumped in the net, huh? Up in the boat. Come on, now. True evangelism, people start to seek you out. See, when your light is shining, uh-oh, come on now, watch this. I'm going to help somebody. When you're in the dark, you're always looking for the light. Oh, come on. You know how when you come in the house, uh-oh, what did I just do? I don't know what I hit. Something jumped on. Okay, there we go. You know how when you walk in the house and it's dark, the first thing you do is feel for the light switch, the closest light switch to you. Even though it's your house, you still want some illumination when you walk. I like this because, see, when you're an evangelist, you are the light. When you are an evangelist, you are the light. And people in the dark are drawn to the light. So I like what the writer says. He says, it just happens. They don't have to work on it because seekers seek them out. See, those of you who know the Lord for real, when folk have questions about church and about religion and about who you serve and the Christ you talk about, they come directly to you. It ain't because you went to them. They come to you based on the light that shines from you. That'll preach by itself. My God, help me now. Help me today. Come on. This is what the writer says. Number five. We moving. Number five. Well, again, we're talking about 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. Number five says, humility oozes from them. Humility oozes from them. The writer says they deny that, of course, because deeply spiritual people are close enough to God that they see their sinfulness in a greater light. In humility, they serve others regardless of their position of leadership. Come on now. See, you don't have to tell people you're humble. I remember sitting in a meeting, and we were at my old church, and we were discussing some of the shortcomings of the church and why people weren't staying, and we were talking about being friendly, and somebody said we're one of the most friendliest churches in the city of Chicago, and I looked around like I was lost. I said, "Where, Hoppo? Who Hoppo? Who you talking about?" You cannot. You have to have a certain level of humility. When you grow in Christ, when your maturity level increases, your humility level increases. See, if you're gonna brag, you're gonna brag on God. You ain't gonna brag on what He gave you. You're gonna brag on Him. You ain't gonna brag on the fact that you look good. You're gonna brag on the God that made you look good. Oh, don't help y'all. Y'all ain't helping me. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach. It says, in humility, they serve others regardless of their position of leadership. Nothing, can I say it like this? Nothing grinds my gears. Y'all remember Alice, the show Alice? I'm old. They used to work at the diner, Mayo's Diner. And Alice used to say, that grinds my gears. That grinds my gears. Nothing grinds my gears than an arrogant preacher. Nothing irritates me more than an arrogant servant. It's nothing. Nothing bothers me more than a servant who believes who believes his own headline. Come on now, to God be the glory. With this Matthew 15, she says, let your Matthew 5 and 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Come on. Come on, help me preach. Help me teach this thing. Humility keeps your ego in check. Watch this. I'm going to help somebody. You know when we're our most humble? Watch this. You know when we're our most humble? In the morning when you get out the shower and you stand in front of the mirror. When you have to stand in front of that mirror in all of your glory, that's when your humility ought to kick in real quick. Because you see every crook, crevice, stretch mark, dent, whatever it is. I'm just saying cigarette burn. Y'all pray for me. But this, bullet wound, knife wound, track mark. Oh, help me, you pray for me. I know. But you see all that stuff. Everything, come on, let's say everything. Look at your neighbor, say everything. Or in the words of a man, what's his name? All of them. That's you become humble because you realize, you know what? Up under all these clothes, it ain't what the clothes look like now. Come on now, under all these, look here, some of y'all be wearing, look here, ladies, can I holler at y'all? I know they got them for the men too, but ladies, y'all be wearing them, what you call the things, to try to keep y'all waist snaps all day long, them waist trainers, be cutting y'all breath off, y'all be looking like y'all about to die, some of y'all put on two of them, huh? Y'all be having them girdles on, my mama tell you in a minute, so for certain clothes, she got to put on two girdles. Y'all pray for her. Huh? Tell my mom business. I know. The sensei, the super waist trainer. Huh? They come in different. They got them for the men too, though. They got them for the men too. There's a whole girdle. I saw it on Facebook. You pull the thing up and it come up all the way up to here. To slam your middle region. I'm trying to help the people. Hey, y'all in the watch party. I'm sorry. What's up, Regina? Sykes, and who else we got in here? I saw some more people here. Okay. Yeah, I can't see the thing. Why is this thing in the way? Okay, there you go. But yeah, you got to be humble. The slip shift three times. She lied. Are you lying? Is it called a slip shift three times? If you don't start playing, if you don't see. See, and then you get mad when Michael do stuff. See, Slim.
Oh God!
Come on! That was number five. Number six. Again, we're talking about 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. Number six says, they guard their lips. Their lips, L-I-P-S. They guard their lips. The writer says, in most cases, I've never heard them open. I'm sorry. In most cases, I've never heard them mouth an off-color word. I've also never had reason to doubt the integrity of their words. Their yes is a yes, and their no is a no. They guard their lips, meaning they watch what they say. They're careful. Felicia says, I respect the women that wear waist trainers and girdles. But they watch what they say. They watch what comes out of their mouth. Because as I told somebody in Bible study the other day, your words are like bullets. Once you pull the trigger, you cannot pull it back. And even if the bullet didn't kill me, it still left the mark. And every time I see it, it's going to remind me of you. You who shot me. This is why we got to be careful of what we say. And I thought about this. Excuse me. I thought about this. Even in the midst of a heated argument. We witnessed a heated argument on Saturday at the bowling alley. And some words that were said were just way out of bounds. Some words that were said were just, the thing about it, you can't even say that it was in the heat of the moment. You almost think it was planned out. Like, I've been holding this for a minute. I've been waiting on you to say something. Because you hit right where it just, you know. The God in glory says it's a double-edged sword. Book of James, yeah. Book of James, that tongue right. You better That's why the Bible talks about bridling your tongue. Y'all know what a bridle was, right? A bridle was a bridle was that piece of leather. Sometimes it was a piece of wood, and it locked in their jaws to stop them from to suspend movement or limit movement. Bridle your tongue. Control what you say. Even if you're right, you don't have to say it. Something I'm learning every day. Even when you're right, you don't have to say it. Come on, Eric says that's another. Come on, Deacon Hill. Deacon in training Hill says that's another form of humility in the watch party. Thank you, sir. Regina said this for y'all waist training people. She says, I wore one and knew I was going to pass out. I got weak. Y'all killing me. Oh, God. Y'all remember Burt Reynolds? Burt Reynolds used to wear a girdle. Everybody knew that Burt Reynolds used to wear a girdle to keep his, when he was still trying to be the Smokey and the Bandit and his stomach head got big. Yeah, so he could fit in them jeans. Burt used to wear a girdle. I'm sorry, let me move on. Number seven says, and we're talking about, again, 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. Number seven says, they genuinely grieve their sin. He says, I still remember the conversation I had with a leader in my denomination who felt he had allowed his anger to come out too strongly in my presence. He later called me to confess with tears because he felt he had dishonored Christ and harmed his witness. My heart isn't always that sensitive. Yeah. You know when you messed up, when conviction sets in, when you say some words out your mouth, and as soon as you say them, you know you messed up. That's conviction, but that's also a sign of maturity. And I love this because you, and again, my former pastor, Ray E. Williams, he said all the time, all you have is your character. Guard your character. Because you can do 1,000, you can do 999 things correct. But when it comes to the 1,000, if you cuss out the people in church, they're going to always remember you cussed out the people in the church house. Can I get a witness? Come on now. Right, Shante, that's Holy Ghost. That's what that is. And when you're mature, the Holy Ghost will stop you from saying some stuff. And as you mature more, the Holy Ghost will stop you from thinking some stuff. See, the Holy Ghost is working with me because it stops me from saying stuff. It ain't stopped me from thinking it yet. I'm still working on that part. I don't say all the stuff that comes to my mind. So the Holy Ghost got that part. I'm working, the bridle is working. Mentally, though, Tourette's is still in full effect. Mentally, it just... it'd be popping off of it then. Huh? I got the Fast and Furious racetrack going on in my head at all times. Say something. Don't I want to say something? I say what y'all want to say. Can't say it. I invoke the spirit of the good late Bishop Bernard McCullum. Bernard.
But when you genuinely have a when there's a true apology in your heart, you especially when you know you hurt the other person or persons or people. When you know you've done wrong. Regina says, yes, Lord, the tongue is dangerous. Life and death is in the life and death is in the power of the tongue. Come on now. Let's go. We're moving. Number eight. Uh-oh. Come on now. Number eight. Come on. Right. Y'all come on. Confess this thing. Help me. I know I ain't by myself. Number eight says, valleys and troubles don't shake their faith. Oh, this is good. Come on now. Valleys and troubles don't shake their faith. They wouldn't dream of turning away from God when he allows pain in their lives. Rather, they stand strong even when anguish drives them to their knees. Wow. Can I help somebody? That just simply means when they're in the wilderness, they don't forget their praise. Oh, God, there go again. Huh? That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley. Huh? Some neighbors say through. Through the valley. He didn't say, yea, though I sit, yea, though I rest, yea, though I lay down and lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. John, he went on to say, if I make my bed in hell, huh? Thou art with me. He didn't forget. Mature Christians don't forget just because a few bad things happen who God is. They don't have to think too far behind to remember the last thing he did for them. True Christian mature. When you're mature spiritually, you don't have to go too far back. Watch this. I ain't got to pick up the Bible to remind me about how good God is. Because Moses can't testify for me. Oh, help me, Jesus. Job can't testify. Solomon, Isaiah, Nehemiah, Uzziah, none of them can pray and worship for me. I got to recognize it for myself. The Bible says when King Uzziah died, then I saw the Lord. My circumstances don't dictate my praise. That'll help. Valleys and troubles don't shake their faith. Trouble come all the time. But who do you serve? Whose report are you going to believe? Oh, God, come on now, help me. Trouble can come at any minute. But I can't quit I can't quit when I know Jesus got the wheel. Come on, somebody help me. That don't mean I don't want to quit. But I know I can't quit when Jesus got the wheel. I know it makes no sense for me to pull out the race. Oh, God. It makes no sense for me to quit. Huh? It makes no sense for me to quit when I know Jesus is in charge. My goodness. Come on in here. This is what the Bible says. This is good, y'all. Again, we're talking about 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. Uh-oh. Number 9 says, non-believers respect them and like them too. Non-believers respect them and like them too. The writer says, they so truly live out their faith that even those who strongly disagree with them give them honor. Somehow, non-believers are willing to listen to them when they wouldn't listen to any other believer. Again, let your light so shine. Even if they disagree with you, they're willing to sit down and talk with you. Because when they've talked with you in the past, your humility has led the conversation.
you being humble was at the forefront. That's why they still feel comfortable talking to you, even though they say they don't believe what you believe. That's spiritual maturity. That's what it looks like. It looks like I can draw in the unchurched. A spiritually mature church can draw in the unchurched. A spiritually mature church is a light to the unchurched. Come on now. Non-believers respect them and like them too. Come on, Shante says, Isaiah 40:31, they that wait on the, come on now, get the whole thing. It says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up on wings like eagles, and run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Come on. Come on. My God. That's good. That's good. Come on, y'all. We only got three more. Again, 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. Number 10. Number 10. Nobody in their family questions their walk with the Lord. Nobody in their family questions their walk with the Lord. That is, those who know them best and see them at their worst still validate their faith. Spiritually mature believers live out the good work for which they've been equipped. For what you've been made to do. Do what you've been called to do. I say this all the time. Once you found your purpose in Christ, the world be damned what other people think. Once you find out who you are in Christ, and once you know your purpose, it's an amazing feeling. Once you know your purpose, once you know who you are, the blessing, there's a blessing in that. There's an absolute blessing in that. Your family doesn't question what they see you doing. Ooh, my God. Then he says, spiritually mature believers live out the good works for which they've been equipped. Referencing 2 Timothy 3:17, where it says, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is good. Doing what you've been equipped to do. Huh? If you was made out to be a block, you don't roll. And if you was made out to be a wheel, you're not used for stability. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on. Number 11. We almost done. Number 11. Their faith is almost a childlike faith. Woo! Their faith is almost a childlike faith. We're talking about 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. It says, it's fascinating, actually. They're the most mature believers I know, yet they speak of Jesus with the wonder and joy of a child. Their trust in him is unshakable. You ever seen, I know, right? You ever seen an adult talk about their parent and you can see the little kid in their face and in their eyes when they're talking about their parent? You can see the light turn on. You can see the brightness in their eyes and in their smile when they talk about their parent. Because this writer is saying their faith is almost childlike, because when they're talking about God, they get giddy. It's like what the songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. Woo.
Come on now. Paul said in Ephesians 4, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. Come on, Shantae, with that one. That's it. Childlike faith. And your trust has to be unshakable. This is good. All right, all right. We got one more. Last one, and we're done. Last one. The writer says this. Their lives are marked by the fruit of the Spirit. Their lives are marked by the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all there. He says, I confess that I don't always live up to these qualities. How about you? Let's agree to pray for each other today. Oh, that's good. That's good. And if we're honest, whether we carry it with us or we write it down, we don't live up to all of those qualities today. We don't meet all of that criteria today. But thanks be to God, we have redemption. We've already been redeemed. My God, we've already been saved. So yes, I know I don't have three of the four. I'm three out of five. I got two of them. I might be a little short somewhere, but at least I recognize that. And even in recognizing what you don't have is a sign of spiritual maturity. Y'all need to get this. Come on, Regina says unconditional love. Absolutely. We got to get to a point where we start working these fruits of the Spirit. Come on, to God be the glory, but God. But God. I had come to the knowledge a long time ago that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I promise you, if we would just spend some time with God working on some of these, which of these characteristics are you still struggling with? That's the question. Start to work on it. Do you show love? Do you give love? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you offer peace? Do you have patience? Ooh. Are you kind at all? Does your goodness show? Is your faithfulness obvious? Do you know what it means to be gentle? And do you have self-control? Yes, Shantae, we got your book. This was good, y'all. I really do hope y'all got some out of it. This blessed me. This blessed me. And once again, thank our exciting new intern Michelle, who's actually found the articles for the last two shows. Thank her so much for doing that, man. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, Michelle. You are fitting right in with the rest of the craziness around here, so thank you so much. This was good, y'all. 12 characteristics of people who are spiritually mature. Let's pray. Father God, we come first, Lord, just to say thank you. Lord God, we thank you for growth. God, we thank you for growth in some of these areas. God, we thank you for your continued work in the areas that we're still struggling in. Lord God, you see where we are. You see those areas that we still just can't seem to get it right. Lord God, you see those areas in us that we keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But God, glory to him. But God, we got to learn to trust you, Lord,
and learn to let you burn off some of those things, God, as you prune us, God, as you purify us, God, increase our levels of maturity in you. And we will give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. We pray this prayer this day in Jesus' name. Amen. My, my, my. All right, so look, we got to go. We got to go. We got to get up out of here. Michelle got 5 jobs, so she got to go to one. So we're going to get ready to get out of here, y'all. But, man, look, I have enjoyed y'all today. I have enjoyed y'all this week. Thank y'all so much, man. Look, this show is great, but it's only great because of the people who watch it, the people who pay attention to it, and the people who play an integral part of it. Zachary is giving me Habakkuk 3:17 and 8. Let me get that for Zachary. Hold on. Hold on. Hold my mute. Let me get it. Habakkuk. Come on now. Let's see. It says, come on. This would be nice if this worked. Okay, here we go. It says, Oh, come on, Zach. Come on. Zach said, where's King James? King James. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Come on. That's it right there. Now that was a benediction. All right, y'all, look, I got to go, man. Look, y'all stay blessed and do what you got to do this weekend. Have fun. Have a good time. Meet me at somebody's church. But if you got to do anything and drive to this special, special city, real quick, too, y'all, I forgot to mention in my prayers. Y'all can see, y'all say a prayer for my producer, LaTanya. She was rear-ended yesterday while picking up baby suite from the schoolhouse. I'm sorry, from the movie theater. But y'all keep up in prayer. She's fine. The car took a little boo-boo. But y'all keep her lifted up in prayer. And y'all also keep my niece Danielle lifted up. She totaled her car 2 days ago. Ran some kind of way, she ran the light and got completely crushed. All five airbags popped in the car. So her car is gone. So y'all keep her lifted up in prayer as well. All right, but if you got to drive one more time through this special city we call the Shy, do me a favor, my brothers and my sisters, keep your head, on the proverbial swivel. Come on, y'all. Be blessed. We out. TTLO.
With your hands lifted up, say, say it like this. Take the limits off. Mm-hmm.